Hey, good evening, Saints. I pray that what we're going to go over tonight is I'm just going to speak from my heart. I hope this is really edifying for you. I'm going to say this. I pray that we're going to do a study on the fullness of God again. I don't know what this might be, number 19. I thank you for opening up the room there, Gary, and whoever was tonight. I thank you for that right from the start. I really do. And I just want to say that this is another study in the fullness of God. And probably in the next one or two sessions, I'll probably be closing out the study, because I could go on and on for a long, long time with this, and I think we went over a lot of really good things if we look back. And tonight I'm going to try to hopefully through the scriptures give you guys an idea of how full the fullness of God is, as stated through His Word. And so, opening with prayer, I pray that all of us saints might understand that all of us are crackpots. All of us, if we get what we deserve death in the eyes of a holy God. On the other hand, and so I pray for, we're going to read about the love of God, and so I pray that sincerely through the Holy Spirit we might all have the love of God, that we might all have the heart of forgiveness, that we all might be unified in like-mindedness. And this is far and beyond us. It's far and beyond us. The unity of the Spirit, the like-mindedness that the Holy Spirit through Paul spoke about is really important. And on the one hand, we don't deserve anything. On the other hand, I'm well aware, and I'm a nobody, when I look at myself, that we are really, really blessed people. We are blessed beyond our comprehension. If that isn't true, well, this word isn't true, and we know that that is true. And so, I pray for these things. I pray for the love of God to be shed abroad in our hearts, and I pray for unity, and I pray that He works on all of us, and I pray that He works on me, specifically. And so, none of us are perfect. And I think we should all realize that. And I pray this through our head and the fullness of all things. We are the fullness of Him who is the fullness of all things. And these things, hopefully, through His name, amen. Sorry about that. I guess I'm running amok. But what I'm going to do tonight, I decided, Lord, what am I going to do about the subject with the saints here? And so this is what I decided to do. I decided to take the verb form and the noun form of the noun form, pleroma, and then the verb form, pleroa, and look into the scriptures. And it's mind-blowing. And this isn't an exercise in how Mike can pronounce Koine Greek forms. It's what's there. It's what's there. And so, you know, I study Greek, and I'm no expert, but there's no doubt about it that the original languages bear much fruit beyond the English sometimes. Can you learn the mystery through the English scriptures? No doubt about it. Do you need the Greek to be called to the mystery? I don't believe so. I wasn't. I don't know if any of you were. And so, therefore, the Holy Spirit can work through the King James Version. But going into the Greek, if we choose to, there is much fruit. So having said this, this is what I'm going to do. And so, simply, I'm going to start out with a verb form, pleroa, and all of its conjugations. Nouns are declined, verbs are conjugated. And so, I'm going to go through verb forms, verb conjugated forms of the action of fullness, being filled, filling, full, and see where this takes us. And I'm going to tell you that there is a lot more than what I'm going to present here. And hopefully by the end of this message, it might give you an idea of how full fullness is in the Scriptures. Here we go. Genesis 1, 20 through 28. And so, we're just going to run through a lot of Scriptures tonight. And it's my personal opinion that the Scriptures teach themselves better than any human being like me can. So here we go. Genesis 1, 20 through 28. This is the conjugated verb form of all of these verses that I'm going to read until I tell you are going to be the verb form, the action of filling, full. And this form is plerosata. And we find it in the Septuagint, Genesis 1, 20 through 28. And all I ask is just listen to these Scriptures and then think about the fullness of God and what He's doing. Genesis 1, 20 through 28. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day, and God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after his kind, cattle, creeping things, the beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle, and every of and their kind, and everything that creeps upon the earth and after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And God created man in his own image, and the image of God he created he him. Male and female created he them. And God said, behold, I have given you every fruit-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding... Oh, I missed the verse. 28. Pardon me, I was reading the wrong verse. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And contained within these verses, and I don't have the exact verse for this one, is the Greek form fullness in action form. And I want to state this to you. Just think about this. Think about the sheer abundance and consider the awesome reproductive capabilities of what the Almighty has created here. Earthly creatures, insects, fish, birds, rabbits, even cells, molecules, human beings, plants, and such things, and how they come to their abundance, and how they grow, and how they multiply, including ourselves, in such abundance. And think about the working of His fullness on the planet in which we live, in everything that we see. It's in full abundance. It's in fullness, working itself out. Let's turn to Luke 3. Like I said, we're going to be moving through scriptures. And this is just, my prayer is to instill in your minds and hearts the fullness of God in the scriptures and what He tells us. Because after all of us here tonight, all we really want to do is we want to learn about Him as much as we can, and we want to serve Him as well as we can. Isn't that true? Luke 3, 1 through 5. Okay, I'm going to be getting into the life of the Lord. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Albilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism and repentance for remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And the Greek form for fullness here is in verse 5. And every valley shall be filled. Every valley shall be filled. And it's the Greek verb form, plerophasetai. And I'm going to say this to you, that what this is, John the Baptist is preaching forth the Christ. And Isaiah is being quoted here through John the Baptist. And he's saying that every valley shall be filled. Well, what shall it be filled with? It shall be filled with the preaching of the Son of God, I think. With the preaching of the Son of God. And I would just, in this verse, I will remind you of this, that Isaiah the prophet in the New Testament is quoted 85 times. And so if we're including 20 out of the 27 books of the New Testament. And so what am I getting at? I'm getting at what John the Baptist was talking about when he talked about the fullness of the preaching of Christ coming. Because John, or Isaiah, the prophet that he quoted, is quoted 85 times more in 20 out of the 27 books of the New Testament. All right, so what I'm saying is this, is I'm saying I believe that the Holy Spirit, through John the Baptist, proclaiming the Christ, is saying that this proclamation is going to be full in the earth. Let's turn to Luke 9, 28 through 31. This is the Greek conjugated form of pleirao, and it's pleirun, and it means to accomplish. All right, and what I want you to start getting a flavor of is, boy, this fullness seems to be being found a lot. And we're just getting started, all right? And so what I want you to realize is I truly believe that God the Holy Spirit, through the scriptures, is putting forth this idea of fullness in many, many, many truths. Luke 9, 28 through 31. And it reads, and it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings He took Peter and John and James and went up to a mountain to pray, and he prayed the fashion of his countenance. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. And so this Greek form, plerum, is the word accomplish. And so what is being spoken of here in Luke 9 as far as fullness is concerned? Well, it's talking about what the Lord's going to accomplish in Jerusalem. So we have the fullness of preaching of the Lord coming. And then we have the fullness of the one who the preaching is about. All right? And this is what I think this leads us to. The Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled over 100 prophecies succinctly and exactly. Over 100 prophecies. This gets to his accomplishment. His accomplishment was full. It was a fullness. These are the prophets and the books which speak of his accomplishment. Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, 2 Samuel, 1 Chronicles, Job, Psalms, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Zechariah, Micah, Hosea, Joel, Amos, and Malachi. The Lord fulfilled prophecies, over 100 of them, from those books perfectly and succinctly. And so, this is what he was to do. This is what he was about to accomplish. And this accomplishment was a fullness, if you kind of get the drift. Turn to John 1, or John 7, pardon me, 1 through 8. John 7, 1 through 8. John 7, 1 through 8. And after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go unto Judea, that thy disciples may see the works and thou doest, that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeks to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot... let's just stop there. Oh, wait. Let's go. I'm sorry. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto this feast. Go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet fully come. His time was yet not a fullness. And so what does this mean? It's the Greek form peplerotai, pardon me. And what this form of fullness means is this, is that the fullness of Christ at this time was in progress of being fully filled with the fact that the completion of his time would in fact take place. Now think about these things. His time wasn't fully yet, but while he was speaking, it was in the process of being full. Being full. Plerao. That's the That's the verb we're working off of. Let's turn to Acts 2, 1 through 4. And just, we're moving through some scriptures here, but this deals with the fullness of God. Acts 2, 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly they came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We find a verbal form of fullness here, and that form is epleirosin. And what that means here is that when that mighty rushing wind came in, it fully and completely permeated the entire place. And then when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were filled with a fullness of the Holy Spirit. They were filled with a fullness of the Holy Spirit that permeated their entire being. A fullness. A fullness. Let's turn to Romans 15. This is what we're doing tonight. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you get something out of it. Romans 15, 9 through 21. Whoa. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name, and again say, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people, and again praise the Lord all ye Gentiles, and laud him all ye people. And again Isaiah said, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren. That ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly unto you in some sort as putting in your mind, because the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the good message of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And I have therefore whereof I may glorify through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, pardon me, I have fully preached the good message of God. In verse 14, in these scriptures, pardon me, comes out the fact of the Greek form, pepleromenoi, and this Greek form means this, is that the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, was to complete the process of proclaiming the good message of God called the gospel. We know there's many gospels. And he was supposed to proclaim it, and this is the idea here, even into the most remote areas of the known world, as he was given utterance and he was given the command, God himself. And so what I'm saying here is that Paul preached what he knew at this time in a fullness. In a fullness, he went out to the most remote places that God the Holy Spirit sent him in fullness, to preach this fullness. And so we have John preaching forth a fullness. We have Christ fulfilling a fullness. We have the Holy Spirit filling full believers. We have Paul preaching the good message in a fullness. And we have the Lord that came to his full time when he sacrificed himself in a manner for which we could never do. Turn to Galatians 5. Please. Galatians 5. The fullness of God. The fullness of God through the scriptures. I mean, I'm just pretty much just reading scriptures. Galatians 5. Bear with me now. Okay. For brethren, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled. For all the law is pleroa. For all the law is filled full. In one word. For all the law is brought to a fullness in one word. Even this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. A fullness of the law brought to its completeness in Galatians under one command. Let's turn to Ephesians 5, 14 through 20. Ephesians 5, 14 through 20. Wherefore he says, awake thou that sleeps and arise from the dead. This is our calling, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time or buying them up, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Very important. I fail at this. Do I understand each day what the will of the Lord is? Well, in truth, but in practice, do I? And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Greek form pleroustha. And what it means is this, two things. That the Holy Spirit is richly furnishing the fullness of God in us. And that this fullness should allow us to be choosing everything that God wills. Understanding the will of God, we have a choice to understand the will of God. Apparently, the Holy Spirit gives us enough fullness to choose to do this. Colossians 1, 25. Colossians 1, 25. Get that right? Oh, I got that wrong because I'm looking at Philippians 1. Pardon me. I need another cup of coffee. I was like, what? Colossians 1. Yeah, thank you. Verse 24. Now, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ, in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fill up, to make full, to bring fully to a completion the holy and precious Word of God. To bring to a full and complete fullness the Word of God. The Greek form is pleroi there. To bring to a completion, to finish the Word of God. Now I'm going to turn to the noun form of the word fullness. Pleroma. Pleroma, and that's how it's pronounced. And I'm not trying to go in, against any of the founding fathers whatsoever, but, you know, that's the way it is. Okay, pleroma. Let's turn to pleroma. Very interesting, this one. Pleroma. Turn to Psalms 24. All right, and so we can actually go back to the Septuagint version and find these Greek forms. Psalms 24, 1-3. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Not only did he create it, not only did he create it to become full through his created processes, but he states that it's his. It's not Satan's in the end. It's not mankind's to do whatever they please with it in the end. It's his. And this is going to be borne out in the end. It's going to be borne out as we move on through his process. It's going to be borne out when the dispensation of the mystery comes to its end, proper end. It's going to be borne out when the tribulation happens. It's going to be borne out when the Lord returns and he says, that's enough. And he's going to set up his own kingdom and he's going to lock the evil one up for 1,000 years. That's going to happen. That's coming. Because the earth is his. It's his fullness. And see, we've been beaten up so much with evil and perversion and man and their ways and their choosing that I guess I can talk to myself that our minds are so beat up sometimes and so stressed out and so we look around at what people are doing and what they're choosing and it's almost hard to believe. But so what? It's not true. It's just the timing of the Lord. As others said in years gone by in the scriptures, where is his coming, right? There's always been scoffers. And so why should we be surprised today? You know, we're supposed to be wise. And so the earth is his fullness. The world, it says, and they that dwell therein, for he has founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? Why don't you ask people that question? Pleroma, pardon me, I mispronounced it. the fullness of God in Psalms. Let's turn to Ephesians 1:10. Play them all. Ephesians 1:10. And again, I just want to impress upon your mind the fullness of God, because what I'm realizing is His fullness is just permeates His word, and fullness is seen a lot in our calling. As a matter of fact, there are some stunning, remarkable things that are put forth after Acts 28 that are just mind-boggling as far as His fullness are is concerned. This might be one, Ephesians 1:10. Well, let's read 7 through 10. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of the Father's grace. Nothing can eliminate the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ isn't eliminated from our calling whatsoever. Wherein He had abounded towards us in all wisdom and discretion. Yeah. The Father has abounded towards you wisdom and discretion in abundance. That's a fact. You can't produce what you know. You guys can't produce what you know of the Lord in your minds and your hearts. You could never produce that. I could never produce that. And that's the subtle miracle of it. You can't produce the things you know of the Almighty. He gave it to you in all abundance, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, that's staggering, according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the pleroma of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in the heavens and which are on earth, even in Him. And what this form of pleroma means, it's pleirose, and I hope that's correct. It could be pleroma itself. I might have made a mistake there. It means a period of time when all that is intended within that time has been accomplished and completed to its fullness. And so, what am I saying here? Well, I think that what this fullness of time speaks of here is it speaks of the word, a work of Christ. And so, we saw the proclaiming of the Christ in its fullness. We saw the timing of the Christ in His fullness, but not until the acknowledgement and the putting forth of the mystery did the work of Christ have its fullness. And so our calling is the fullness of the work of the Son of God. That was a mystery. That was a sacred secret before it was revealed. And without us, the work of Christ couldn't be a pleroma. Let's turn to Colossians 2, no less. Verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so ye walk in Him. Well, what kind of things have we received of Him? If we've received the mystery of the Father's will, and that we are the completeness of the fullness of the work of Christ. You know, it's like, and I'm as much a failure or more so than any of you, but every so often the Lord knocks me in the head and says, hey, you, this is who you are. Get with it. Understand who you are, because the evil one is going to tell you who you're not in the Lord. He's going to tell you who you are in the flesh, and he's going to tell you about all your mistakes and all your failures, which are totally forgiven, much less you are the fullness of the Creator. You know what I mean? And so it's a matter of our brains and how we walk each day. Now, some would say, well, this would cause you to be arrogant. And we know that the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, directs us just the opposite. That this is in humility. Christ was humbled. Think about it. The Creator was humbled. That's ridiculous to the human mind. One of the greatest apostles of all time was humbled. That's ridiculous to the human mind. How could the Almighty God, that's the fullness of the universe, be humbled in front of sinful creatures? That's ridiculous. Yet, in fact, that's how God works. And I believe that there's something really, really special to be learned about that. Because if you're ever humbled that way, if you're ever humbled before men, if you're humbled before the world, if you're ever humbled before your family, well, who are you to say that you're any better than your Lord? And it goes on to say, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as we have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving, beware lest any man make a spoil of you through philosophy, vain deceit, the tradition of men, the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwells all of the pleroma of the Godhead bodily. In him dwells the full measure of deity in bodily form. We should think about these things. Let's turn to Ephesians 4. We should think about these things. Okay, we're speaking of the one who saved us and of who we serve. Ephesians 4, 8 through 13. Wherefore he said, he that ascended up on high, he led captives captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but he that also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far up above all heavens. By the way, that's where we are, seated in him, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, so we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is the one who emptied himself. This is the one who brought full his time. This is the one who died for us and made prophecy of fullness. And then after he resurrected, he totally filled the entire universe with his fullness in as far as his presence that was brought through the universe as he ascended, his power and his activity. And so there's a lesson to be learned about the fullness of this one who ascended through the heavens and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And I believe that that fullness and that ascension, him being the full measure of deity, has to do with the undoing of the evil one, with which we have spiritual warfare on a continued basis. Turn to Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. This will be something that's in my mind until I'm not here anymore. What does it mean to be the fullness of Him who fills all things? What does that mean? I don't know if I'll ever have the answer to it, but I'm going to give you a tidbit, something I found, for whatever it's worth. What does that mean to be the fullness of Him that fills all things? What does that mean to be the fullness of the Creator? What does that mean to be filled with all spiritual blessings at the right hand of the Father? Again, I'm speechless. I mean, these truths are way, way too much for us to handle as human beings. But through the Spirit, we know that they're true. And I think that the Apostle Paul was praying through the Holy Spirit that this is what we should be filled with. This fullness is what the love of God fills us with. The love of God is not something that we produce in our own feeble minds and hearts. It's produced by Him through the Holy Spirit, and therefore you can rejoice in the fact of these blessings. Otherwise, you're like a person that's reading a novel that understands nothing about the words in that novel whatsoever. Not saying the Word of God is a novel, but if you read it without God the Holy Spirit, you won't understand anything about it. Yet on the other hand, it's miraculous. There's no doubt about that. All of you know this. All of you know. If you know the mystery, you know, I'm not a Pentecostal, as you know, but it's a miracle. It is. It's a miracle. God the Father shedding forth His knowledge and wisdom with full abundance on you and me. I mean, I could say, come on. I suppose in worldly terms. All right, so. So if we start with Ephesians 1:19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe according to the working of His mighty power? Well, you know, of course, we're not healing the sick or raising the dead, so how is this power working in us? Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the super heavenlies, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the pleroma of Him, the one that fills all in all. How can we be the fullness of Him that fills everything we know about and that owns everything that we know about? How can that be? Well, even though I can't perfectly explain it to you, all of you have the indwelling Holy Spirit and have the same power in Ephesians 1:19 that I read about, and he gives you that. He gives you that explanation in your heart and mind. I read this somewhere in some of the in a Greek text that I read over. It stated that we are fullness of the Christ. We are the consummation of the Christ. My mind said, consummation of the Christ, what does that mean? And then this is what the explanation is for whatever it's worth to you. It stated, we are his accomplishment. We are his finishing achievement. As it is to a human being that receives the Nobel Prize. It's after a life of self-sacrificing work. If we think about it, you know, and you could say, well, how can you compare being the fullness of the Christ to a Nobel Prize? It's an idea. It's an idea. Because if we're the crowning of that pyramid, we're the crowning of the Lord's work. We're the crowning of that pyramid of his work, the church, which is his body. And if we think about it, when were we called? I mean, this is all involved. Well, heck, we were called before the katabale of the world. Oh, okay. Well, when was that? When were we called? Oh, well, were we called when God was in a fullness? Well, I'm going to say, yeah. That when God created the angelic world, he was in a fullness. And yet before that fell, we were called. I mean, it just goes on and on. I mean, seriously. If we think about it, think about this. We are the only calling, the only company of blessed believers called a fullness. Our calling, in a real, true sense, was totally untouched by the katabale. And so what am I saying? Did it take, you know, I suppose we can think about the mind of God in all of this, and we were called before anything fell. How can that be? We wouldn't be here. You know, I mean, how can it be that we were chosen before we were human? How could it be that God chose us in a fullness when there was no sin? Think about it. And then all the callings of God occurred after the katabale, ours did too, but in fact our calling was not contained in the time after the katabale. And so, I think I can say that we were chosen to be a fullness out of a fullness, and to fill one who fills all things. The fullness of God. Two scriptures left. In Ephesians 3:19, we find in verses 14 through 21, we find both the noun form, pleroma, and the verb form, pleroa, I'm sorry. So let's read that. Almost done. Ephesians 3:14 through 21. for this cause, an awesome prayer of the Apostle Paul. And, you know, in Ephesians 1, we have an awesome prayer. And then here's another prayer. And here's the Apostle Paul, how we may know him. You know, but he was a human being, like you and me. And he saw many things that we never will in our life. But we have the same calling that he had. And we are filled with the same Holy Spirit that he was. Are the powers of the Holy Spirit in us limited in the three-dimensional fleshly world? Yes, for a reason. Nevertheless, we have the same empowering resurrection power in us as well. And so I think this prayer is to you and me. For this cause I bow on my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole in heaven and earth is named, that grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Holy Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, being rooted and grounded in love, that ye may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes human understanding, that ye might be filled, pleirotheta, with all the pleroma of God. The first filling, that ye might be filled, is filled full with the love of God, in order that ye might complete God's goal. That's the expression of this Greek verb form, that the Almighty God has a goal. And that goal is being filled with the pleroma. And so you're filled with the love of God in order that you can complete a fullness. And that is being filled by the pleroma of God, the superabundance of God. That is, that the church, which is his body, which is the fullness of the Christ, that is you, that ye may become wholly filled and flooded by the Father's will, knowledge, and superabundance. Yes. Colossians 1, 13 through 19. And this will bring this lesson, tonight's lesson, to a close. This one. Last week I stated, doesn't matter what I say. The fullness of God is a person. Colossians 1, 13 through 19. Reading this and taking into account all that we've read tonight. All the things about the fullness we've learned tonight. All this fullness originates from and comes to its perfect completion, completeness in the person of Christ our head. More than just words to be said. It's who the Christ is and what he's done. Colossians 1, 13 through 19. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of your Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, that is the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Listen to this. Thinking about all the things that we learned about so far, and there's many more. For by him were all things created. You're kidding. That are in heaven, in the heavens, and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him all things cohere. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have or become the preeminent one. For it pleased the Father that in him should all pleroma dwell. And I thank you guys for being here. It's an honor to know all of you, and to know this word for whatever I know, and to know people that love his word in this day and age, in this present time of evil. It's the evil day. But I just know I'm really thankful that I can say these things, and that there's ones out there that can understand these things. Not that I'm anybody, but it would be a real, you know, we can be lonely, but it would be a real lonely world if just, let's say, you knew the mystery and nobody else. So, I don't know what that means, but easy to be Pentecostal. Well, hey, I thank you guys, and we'll see you again in times coming. Thank you.